The first reading is from John chapter 16, beginning at verse 12, and is headed, Jesus teaches about the Holy Spirit. There is so much more I want to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said, the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. The second reading is from chapter 17, beginning at verse 26. And is headed, Jesus prays for future believers. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. I am in them, and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you have given to me with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me, because you loved me even before the world began. O righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I do, and these disciples know you sent me. I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them. Amen.
It goes round and round a little bit, doesn't it? But there's so much truth in that, isn't there? And although the word Trinity isn't used anywhere there, you can see it, can't you? You can see it. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, it was traditional to have a three-part sermon, wasn't it? Because you can manage 3 points to remember. Well, mine's a 10-part one, I'm sorry. But it's more of a journey, really, to try and understand what the Trinity can mean for us personally and as a community. Because Trinity is not just a theological debate or a formula, but it's a community in a relationship of love. And that's where we're heading. A community of love. And we are in God's heart, in his heart of love, his truth, his life. And we'll see that in our readings. Well, I first went to the Thesaurus to see what it had to say. And it said it was threefoldness. I like that. Things that are threefold, they're really sure, aren't they? You've checked them 3 times over, and they're threefold. They're saying the same thing. And then there's a threesome. Threesome relationships can be lovely, can't they? Very, very special. When everyone in the three is equal and sharing, it can be very, very special, can a threesome. And then there's tri-unity. I like that one. And that speaks for itself, doesn't it? That it's a unity of all three, that God was just of one heart, one love, one community. Now there's some very, very early inklings of this threesome God. Right from the very beginning. And John, at the beginning of his gospel, says that He was with God, and he was God, and his life gave light in darkness. And then you go right back to the creation, and the Spirit moved over the waters. And also, it refers to God made humans, we made humans. I don't know about all that, but it's there. And then, of course, there's this picture here that's a painting of the threesome, the three men who came to Abraham with a message. The three of them just appeared there. And they've got them as angels with wings. And I think, did Abraham understand? But he certainly knew that it was God speaking in those three. And they're all equal. And it reminds you of the communion table as well. It reminds you. And there's sort of tenuous links to me, but it's just very interesting. And some of the art religious art, of Christian art, is just a little bit way out. But nevertheless, there's something there, isn't there, that points towards the Trinity. And people have said, well, Abram welcomed angels unawares. And you never know, do you? Because Christ is in others and we see Christ in others. I also had a look at the Unitarian Church and I wondered what it would be like if we didn't have our Trinity doctrine. In St. Saviour's Gate, you must have walked past it a few times. What would we lose if we didn't have this very rich understanding of God in Trinity? I think we'd lose a lot. They don't believe that Jesus was God. They believe he was simply a man, a great man, a prophet, but not God. They believe his teaching of justice and love and truth, yes, that's good, but not God. And they say that he never claimed to be God. Their church is very inclusive, with a whole range of freedom of beliefs and reason. They have some of the shared values that we have, of course. Justice, love, equality. And they use the Bible, translate it from their perspective. Jehovah's Witnesses are Unitarians. One Jehovah, Yahweh. No resurrection. Some believe in an afterlife. But Jesus was a moral exemplar. Don't you think that we'd lose a lot if we didn't have this rich understanding of the Trinity? It helps us to see God like a multifaceted precious stone. Where did it come from? The word isn't used in the Bible. It comes from the first century trying to understand who God is in the light of Christ, of resurrection, of Pentecost. And it's all there in the Gospels. There was so much debate in formulating a doctrine, often in complicated, outdated language, when really it's all about our relationship with God and knowing God personally. God beyond our human understanding, but at the same intimate, just a breath away. And in a way, Trinity Sunday completes the journey that we made. And it's a kind of springboard to a new understanding of a relationship with God through Christ. As we journey through Lent, through Easter, through Resurrection, Ascension, Pentecost, where did the disciples go from there? And where do we? I am with you always, he said. And we rejoice in God, Father, Creator, Sustainer, yet only a breath away. We rejoice in Christ, close, sharing our humanity, understanding our frailty, and offering hope of life. And the Holy Spirit revealing truth to empower us. All these in a community of love and life. And the verses that David read I think, are very, very central to the very core of our faith. In our ordinary, or you might say extraordinary, complicated lives of today, changeable, unstable, dangerous, and a divine love in the heart of his people that lifts us and helps us to live in the world we're in, guided by the Spirit, revealing the truth, revealing what God revealed in Christ, what Christ revealed from his Father. It went round a little bit, didn't it? Christ's prayer to be one as he is one with his Father, I in them, you in me, all perfected in one. He said, you love me, I love them, your love is in them. And that leads us to this Celtic symbol that you've all got. I like this one. I think this is more powerful than the three at the table there. And I just wondered, if we put Father, Son and Spirit in the outside segments, what would you put in the middle? What would you put in the space in the middle?
Unity.
Unity. All one. That's a good one, yes. Unity. The whole of who God is. Because you perhaps just put God there. Another word I'd like to put is love. Because it's a love that brings it all together, isn't it? Love. And also, I would like to put us in that centre. Why? Because we are in God's heart, aren't we? We are in God's heart. So you put whatever word you like in that when you take it home. United in love, surrounded by love, inviting us into the very heart of God, reassuring us that that's where we are. And that kind of leads us to our communion. Holy communion in Christ, with Christ in us and we in him. As we take the elements, we are Christ in us and we in him, in one unity, in close community, in close communion. In the first century, if you were in communion, there's a Greek word for it as well, if you were baptized, you were accepted wherever you went in the church. Every church you went to accepted you. You were in communion, all in one communion. And I think that's what we try to have in our Methodist church. And I know from my experience that when we go to a new church or a different church, before you start, you've got that sense of a deep down unity somewhere, that you're in communion. And I think that's lovely, and I just hope we'll never lose that. It's so important. In this circuit and wherever I've been, I've always felt that when you go to a different church, you're already part of it. You're in communion with them. And I think that's a really wonderful thing, and that's part of our understanding of communion, the communion of the Trinity, of course. It's that feeling of oneness. And I think too that the Trinity keeps a balance. It keeps us central. It keeps us from going off in one direction. Not just God who is Jehovah or Yahweh. Not just Jesus, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Not just that, but the greatness and wonder of Christ's sacrifice and his love and everything else, absolutely central to it all. And not wholly the Spirit. I mean, in the first century, they believed they'd moved into the age of the Spirit. And one group went out into the desert and sat there and waited because they believed that because it was the age of the Spirit would lift them up to heaven. They remained very much earthed in that desert and went back to their everyday lives. So I think the Trinity is a kind of safeguard keeps us focused on the very heart of our faith, keeps us rooted. We're still free to think. It's not an enclosed community, it's an open out community with the love spilling out from our church. Inspired to let God's love spill over, His example to follow, and to know a relationship with God through Christ's life and teaching, and through the Spirit, each part of Trinity equal. So in communion, as we follow that, we celebrate that closeness. We know that Christ is in us, each of us, and we share communion as a community. It's not just me, it's all of us. United in Christ, caring, reaching out, challenged by needs around us. Not a cocoon hiding away from reality, but an expression of God's love, care. Care for creation, care for people in need, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, inspired by our faith, each of us and all together. Amen.